old green, nasty bachelor chair. Had it for quite 20 years. We sold the yard sale. And it was a place where I met with God.
Amen.
It's a place where I prayed, worshiped, sought God. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. This shall come to pass, for the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land where thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal beside the plains of Morah? For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. Ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day." And so you notice the Lord told them in verse 29, he brought thee unto the land where thou goest to possess it. It's a chosen land. It's the land of Abraham. It's a place that God called him out of Ur and sent him to. In that land, though, there's this little town, this little place. I want to look at it just through the scripture. In verse 30, he said it's over against Gilgal. Now, I want to look at a couple of places in the Word of God in the book of Joshua concerning this place called Gilgal. In Joshua chapter 3, starting verse 17, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So God brought all of them across Jordan." God passed all of them through the waters. God brought all of them into the promised land. "It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. He said, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them." And notice what he says. "That the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Word of God that says in verse 19, "The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch," and notice this place, "in Gilgal." There's a memorial of those 12 stones, how when God put the Ark of the Covenant before the river parted ways.
Amen.
For the Ark of God. And that memorial is those 12 stones in the midst of the river. And he said on this wise, so that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, and they will ask, you'll answer this, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. We in America have memorials. It's not wrong. It's a good thing. We have a 9/11 memorial down by the Letterkenny Chapel now. They have a couple of the girders that supposedly came from the Twin Towers, even though they're all buried in a landfill under 70 feet of concrete in New Jersey somewhere. But, you know, they gave little pieces. They sold them to communities. And they put a 9/11 memorial, the veterans' flags, and people go down there. And it's a place where you memorialize a great event in American history. We have Gettysburg near us, of course, as memorials to the excess in Gettysburg, some 2,000 plus memorials and markers in Gettysburg to remember each unit, each army that fought there. In fact, you go, you walk the lines, and some of you have been there with us, you walk the lines of Gettysburg. There's an L and an R for the left flank and the right flank of every unit that fought. An L and an R, line after line, battle after battle. It's a memorial of that that took place. And God said to the children of Israel, this is an event for you that you're going to remember. This is going to be remembered by your children, your children's children. That the waters of Jordan parted for the ark of God. Why? God was making a way into a promised land for them. And just like God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and brought Israel out through that Red Sea into the wilderness. God also then brought them out of the wilderness, and he parted the waters of Jordan that they might go into that promised land. And God is the one that parted the waters before the ark of God. He said, put these 12 stones as a memorial in the waters at Gilgal. And so they did. In chapter 5, begin reading verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. So what took place? Well, let's go back to verse 6. Let's go back to verse 2. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Why? Because there were some that came out of the wilderness that had not been circumcised. There were some came out of the wilderness and had not received the circumcision. And so the Lord says, make these sharp knives, circumcise again. They're going to cut away the deadness of the foreskin, the deadness of the flesh. And God did that for them. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, at them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, until all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obey not the voice of the Lord. Now again, it's important to understand that. Had they obeyed God, they all would have been circumcised. They would have gone in. But because they did not obey God, they wandered for 40 years. Because of their disobedience, they wandered, seeking refuge, seeking shelter. God sustained them with manna. And by the way, if you're wandering in the wilderness today, God is still sustaining you with manna. God is still feeding you the bread of life. God is still sending you bread from heaven to feed your soul. Though you wander, God is still sending bread. God is still giving water. God is still providing meat. Though you wander, God is still giving provision.
That's right.
And they wandered in the wilderness.
Right.
But they were not circumcised. They could not come into a holy God. They could not come into the tabernacle of God. They could not come and offer sacrifice. And God told Joshua, make those sharp knives and you circumcise them. You circumcise the uncircumcised. You cut away the deadness of the flesh.
Amen.
They'd seen the work of God. They'd seen the miracles of God. God parted the waters. God made a way to cross the Jordan River. Then they were circumcised. In verse 6, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, the day of circumcision, the day of the cutting away of the deadness of the flesh, the day of the renewal of Israel, the day that everything changed. He said, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. What happens when the reproach is rolled away at Gilgal? In verse 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even the plains of Jericho. And then notice this. Not only did they partake of the Passover, that lamb, which of course we know is Christ. Not only did God has circumcised them and cut away the deadness of the flesh, God has given them a lamb to offer. But notice in verse 11, old things were passed away. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased. Old things are passed away.
Hey, right.
When the reproach of Egypt's gone, old things pass away.
Hey, right.
They're no longer uncircumcised, no longer forbidden from the tabernacle. They have access to God. Amen and amen. Amen. The old things are done. Right. The old things have passed away.
God.
The manna from heaven ceased at Gilgal. The reproach is gone at Gilgal.
Amen.
Why God no longer has a need to give them manna. They're going to a land that God has chosen for them. It's a land of milk and honey. He said over in the book of Isaiah, butter and honey shall he eat. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Why? It's the common man's food. They had goats. They could milk those kids and take the milk. And they could make butter. They had sheep. And they could take the milk and make butter. And I know that's a loss today, but it's a reality. You can take any kind of milk and make cheese or butter. Right. It's going to be absurd to some of you, but it's the truth. You can go verify this. In Italy, in a little village in Italy, they milk donkeys. Mm-hmm. They make donkey's milk. You don't believe me when I say that. Go look it up. Mm-hmm. A donkey gives about a cup of milk a day. Amen. You're not milking long. You've got to have a lot of donkeys. Mm-hmm. And they collect that milk, and finally they'll rent that milk out, and they'll get a little square cheese. And if you bought it in the United States, it's hundreds of dollars a pound. Why? Because donkey cheese is hard to find. Amen. It's common man's food. They could go in the cliffs of Israel on the face of the rock. And he said, with water out of the rock, with honey out of the rock, I would have satisfied thee. Why? Because the bees go up in the cliffs and the honey just runs down the face of the cliff. And common men can go and gather that honey in the spring. Amen. Sustain their family. God made a way for the common man. God made a way for the simple man. God made a way for the poor man.
Right.
To sustain him.
Amen.
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 It wasn't for the rich. It wasn't for those with notoriety. It was for the commoner. It was for the simple man. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they'd eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The Lord told them. He said, you'll glean vineyards that you did not plant. Or not tend, I think it is there. You'll go into orchards and you'll go and you'll take fruit of the vine that you didn't plant, that you didn't deal with. You'll eat corn that you didn't have anything to do with. I'll sustain you off this land. It is a land of milk and honey. It is a land. And they can eat of the fruit of the land. And God blessed them in the fruit of the Canaan. And the old things ceased. And all things were made new. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Boy, sounds a lot like another fellow, doesn't it?
Amen.
It sounds a lot like the fellow that Joshua came after. Mm-hmm. Sounds a lot like the man that anointed Joshua.
That's right.
Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy.
What about that?
And Joshua did so. Hmm. Where was he? He was in Gilgal. The place where the reproach of Egypt rolled away. What took place? God circumcised him. All the men were circumcised. The reproach rolled away. God made all things new for them. God sustained them with the fruit of the land. And listen, they didn't have to go labor. They didn't have to go tend those big... They walked into Canaan land. There were houses they didn't build. They moved right in. There were cities that they didn't have to labor over. They just moved right in. There was fruit in the land.
Right.
They just moved right in. Ate the fruit of the land.
Praise
God. Because that's the promise of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And then another marvelous thing happened to Gilgal. The captain of the host, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto Joshua. What did he say at Gilgal? Remove thy shoe from off thy foot. You know why Gilgal was holy land?
Amen.
Gilgal was a place of holiness.
Yes, sir.
The place whereon thou standest is holy. Again, what happens when you have the reproach of Egypt rolled away? Jesus Christ is magnified. Jesus Christ becomes very real. But can I say even more than that, how real? He'll appear to you. He'll speak to you.
Yes, sir.
Right.
He'll give you holy ground. Boy, I'd like to be so spiritual and tell you how I got up this morning and man just found holy ground. Hard to pray in some of these devil-possessed places, but you go in there. I told my wife last night, I said, well, we'll see how spiritual this place is when I wake up in the morning. That place wasn't spiritual.
Right.
Amen. My children, little hellions in there. I mean, me and my wife was grounding each other all night, all morning. It wasn't spiritual. Do you know why? Because we weren't.
Right.
Amen and amen.
That's right, preacher.
I said, amen on that.
And you're right.
You get spiritual and find out there's some places that are holy.
Amen.
So you know, we did pray. We sat the children down this morning, went through some verses, went through some songs. Got to bless that place.
That's right.
Come to the house of God this morning with scripture, with songs. Why trying to bless this place?
Sir.
In hopes that the captain of the host might appear unto us.
Amen.
We might see him high and lifted up. And I know that's too far out for a lot of people because they've never experienced it. But if you experience it, that'll never be too far out for you.
That's right.
Amen. I've had to go into a place of prayer and kick my shoes off my feet. I've had to burn my face in the carpet trying to get under the carpet. Is that holiness of God.
That's
I'm
right.
In this place when the holiness of God swept across this building.
Right, preacher. Right. That's exactly right.
Amen. I can't say about too many places.
That's right.
But I was in this place when the holiness swept. It was a rainy night, kind of like this is a rainy day. Floods, mudslides, amen. All hell breaking loose outside the wall. In the walls of the house of God was holiness.
Amen.
God rolled away with the reproach of Egypt that night.
Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 10 of Joshua, verse 6. The men of Gibeon said to Joshua in the camp of to Gilgal, saying, slide not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Machanah. And it came to pass, as they were fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. What's the point there? We'll look at verse 43. We'll notice this one more time. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. What's the point? They had a place to fight from, and God fought for them. They had a place to camp, and when they marched out to battle, God went before them. God smote their enemies. God was their defender.
Right.
They destroyed everything that went before them under the mighty hand of God. They returned back to Gilgal. Again, the place that God set up a memorial, the place where the reproach of Egypt was rolled away, the place that he made all things new, and the place where God appeared to Joshua. Verse chapter 14. Just a few little things about Gilgal.
It's good.
Verse 6, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Those of you that don't know, that's 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, that I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Mm-hmm. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Where does Caleb go? He goes to Gilgal. He goes to the place of the memorial. He goes where the camp of God is. And he reminds his old friend Joshua, I'm 85 years old, but God made me a promise. Moses promised me that inheritance is rightfully mine. We sing that old song and thank God for that song. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. God gave him an inheritance that day in Gilgal. Judges chapter 2. The critics would say, well, all you did is look up the word Gilgal. Yeah, pretty much. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this?
Oh boy.
Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Mm. It came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Where? Verse 1, the angel of the Lord again came to them at Gilgal. God had a great interest in this place. God accomplished much in this place. 1 Samuel chapter 7, we continue. I looked at that little phrase, I am, back in October, November time. Come November, I stayed up, I guess, all day one day. Probably, I don't know how many hours in there, just running through the I am's of the Word of God and kind of preached a broad brush. And the Lord's given me, I don't know, 15 messages out of two words. Amen.
Sure.
So the Lord this morning very clearly showed me, he said, you're just going to go and ask Brother Vernon. If he says no, you can sit down and shut up. If he says yes, then you're going to stand up and you're going to talk about Gilgal. It wasn't to overthrow Brother Zach. It may be, but his brother needs him to preach to him. Amen, amen. I don't usually say stuff like that, but it's too late now. May not be. Amen. Might be for his dad to preach to him. Either way, he's going to get it. Amen.
Man.
God brought some of you here.
That's right.
Thank God for that. Thank God for his mercy. Brought you to this place. To this place. Every reproach of Egypt can roll away. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. Let's go to verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, and Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 8. This is about Saul. Thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. Behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. In verse 11, he fulfills that. In verse 14, then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal. And there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, part of the history of Gilgal. Verse 4. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul, again, to Gilgal. In verse 7, some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people scattered from him. In verse 12, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. We see Saul's offering before the Lord because of fear. In verse 15, and Samuel arose and gathered him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him about 600 men. Again, we see in the place that God has established, we see Saul goes and he offers sacrifice he shouldn't have offered. The place, it's a place where God has a memorial. But what did God tell them? If you'll obey my commandments, if you'll take heed to my word, I'll be with thee. What has Saul done? Saul's disobeyed God. Can I say this now that we've got this far? It doesn't matter what the place is. God demands obedience.
That's right.
God needs you to obey. Remember back to a place that God's established, a place that God has worked, a place where we have a history, a place where God has a memorial, a place where we've seen the reproach roll away, a place where God makes things new. What does God still require? He requires obedience. In chapter 15, verse 12, when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, where? In Gilgal, in that place of the memorial. And Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this? Bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the sacrifices of the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight,
Right.
Wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Where? At Gilgal. God anointed him at Gilgal. A place that God chose. God anointed him to be king. What did Saul do? He went back to that place. But he went back in disobedience. He disobeyed God there. The reproach was upon his head. I'm not going to read for the sake of time in this same passage. God took his kingdom away from him. He gave it to another better than he. God took everything that Saul held dear, gave to another, which was David. And he did it in that place called Gilgal. Man. You know what I think happens sometimes? When we get big in our own eyes, we lose sight of where God's brought us from. We see others that have walked in that victory. And I want somebody to hear me well on this. Many of you, if not most of you, were in New York this year. 12 years of labor. You can ask Brother Zach, he was there the first year with us. It was a labor of blood, sweat, tears. Seemed like nothing ever happened. Seemed like nothing really much. I mean, just have glimpses of the power of God. Have nights, people on the altar for until 1 a.m, 2 a.m. Had some of those nights, but yet it seemed like nothing's going on. And God used it this year.
Man.
And it's easy to want to run back. It's easy to want to go back and say, Boy, if we just have another youth week, if we just do this, if we could just replicate, if we could just go through the motions again, if we could just do all this again, God's not in replication.
Right.
What God demands is obedience. And that's what God's requiring of us this week. God did establish a place in Black Creek, New York, where it pleases him to meet.
Sir.
We've seen the reproach rolled away. We've seen some circumcised. We've seen some that the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've seen that in lives over the years. But God wants us to obey here.
That's right.
It's not in the place. It's in the work of God.
That's right, preacher.
2 Samuel chapter 19. Verse 15. So the king returned, came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. When David returns and David comes back to Jerusalem, where's the first place he goes? He goes to Gilgal across Jordan. Why? Because there's a memorial there. It's a place where God brought the reproach away. And Judah came down and took their king and brought him across Jordan and put him on the throne in a place called Gilgal. 2 Kings chapter 2. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah.
Amen.
Into heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah went with Elisha. From Gilgal. Now, you can say what you want about this. I believe it's because they hold the ground. I believe God's prophets knew those places that God had sanctified. I'm sure people believe that.
Right. Amen.
You see that in Shiloh. You see that in Gilgal.
That's right.
You see that through the Word of God. There's places, there's mounts that God gave.
That's right.
We see them all through the Word. That Mount Solomon built on Ornan the Threshing, where the temple was built, the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. What is that mount? It's called Horeb. What happened on Mount Horeb? Abraham went to offer his son Isaac on Mount Horeb. It was a place that God sanctified.
That's right.
The prophets of God knew about that place.
Sure.
God established his tabernacle and work in a place called Shiloh. And God used Shiloh for many a year. Samuel ministered in Shiloh. Hannah went down and prayed, and God gave her a man child. His name was Samuel, a great prophet and priest of God. And he gave it to her in a place called Shiloh.
Amen.
The children of Israel forsook God in Shiloh. These two men of God went from Gilgal, verse 2, and Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. So it's interesting that God brings them out of Gilgal, sends them to another place that God has established his word in Bethel. One of those circuits that Samuel wrote, of Bethel to Gilgal. They come from Gilgal to go to Bethel. It's at Bethel that God takes up the man of God, the chariots of fire. That's no coincidence. God has places. God has places that he uses. In verse chapter 4, 2 Kings, verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. There was a dearth in the land. The sons of the prophets were sitting before him. Why? They were in Gilgal. And he said to his servant, "Sit on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." And one went out into a field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered their wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating the pottage, they cried out and said, "O thou man of God, there's death in the pot." They could not eat thereof. And he said, "Then bring meal," and he cast into the pot. And he said, "Pour out for thy people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. The miracle was wrought.
Right.
The death in the pot's removed.
Sir.
In Gilgal. Why do you think it's important God said that? He's letting you know about this place. He wanted us to know God performed a miracle there.
Man.
It was important to God. It ought to be important to us.
Sir.
Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9, verse 15. As you start in verse 13. "Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast." And notice this of Ephraim. "All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, if they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him. And they shall be wanderers among the nations." Where does God destroy them? The place where they do their wickedness, which is Gilgal. In verse 10 of chapter 12 of Hosea, "I have also spoken with the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." Is there iniquity in Gilgal? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal, yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows in the field. Jacob fled to the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife. And for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. The answer, is there iniquity in Gilgal? Yes, there is. In a place that God chose. In a place that God put a memorial. In a place where that reproach was rolled away from Israel. In a place where God made all things new. In a place that God established his word, his prophets, his ministry. Yet, there was still iniquity. And God destroyed them for it. So God destroyed them. for going down to that holy place where the man of God had to remove his shoes because of holiness. Yet their iniquity abounded in Gilgal. Amos chapter 4. Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, or in the mouth of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring, let us drink. And by the way, those of you that are wondering, that is the bulls of Bashan in Psalm 22. The kind is the cows, the milk cows. The bulls, a little bit stronger, large animal, destructive. Then the mouth of Samaria, which oppress the poor, crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. You shall go out of the breaches, every cow and that which is before her. You shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifice every morning, sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. He said, come, offer your abominations. Right. Offer your uncleanness. Put leaven in your offering. Can I just paraphrase? Why don't you just come and offer a swine? Go get a buzzard. Lay it on the altar.
Right.
Because that's what God thinks of you.
Try.
At Gilgal. Their children see those 12 stones. And they say, what are those 12 stones? God told them what the answer was. But you know what the parents say today? Oh, that's nothing. If you don't believe me, go find those 12 stones today. Men will try to act like they can find them, or they know where they are. Men have probably tried to reassemble them, make them what they're not.
Right.
The memorial's here. It's not in Jordan anymore. You know why they forsook it? All that they saw, all that they've heard, all that they've seen, yet they're abominable before God. Amos 5. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord of the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Psalm 78, it was in Jeremiah 23. The Lord forsook the tabernacle of God, which he had placed. Shiloh. The Lord says, seek me.
Right.
These places are going away. Gilgal's going into captivity. That great place where God did his mighty work is going into captivity.
Right.
Bethel. The mighty works wrought in Bethel. It's coming to naught. Priest in Michigan, Zach was with me. Back when we were both young, well, he was young, dumb, we were both single, in love, all giddy, showing each other pictures of our girlfriends, called them ugly. Sorry, Amber, sorry, Rebecca. Those are good old days, I would say. A priest on Shiloh, Don Green, with the Lord now, thank God for his memory.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Brother Green said, I've been to Shiloh.
Right.
He said, my promised land trips, I've been to Shiloh many times. And he said, you know what's in Shiloh today? Mm-hmm. A sign that says Shiloh. Mm-hmm. You know what's in Gilgal today? Just a worldly city. It means nothing to the people of Israel. It means nothing to the people of God. It has no significance whatsoever in this world. You know why? They went into captivity. You know what's in Bethel today? Wilderness. So what did the Lord say? Seek me. We can't go to Gilgal today. We can't go to Bethel today. We can't go to Shiloh. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. You see, this is never going to be destroyed. This is never going to come to naught.
That's right.
God's never going to forsake this book.
Amen.
This book's never going into captivity. What's in a place? Note this, a memorial. What's a memorial? What's the root of a memorial? A memory. I said a memory. I'd go to the 9/11 memorial and weep and sob and blow snot. I've been at the wall in Vietnam. I've seen the veterans painting and drawing pictures of Da Nang and the captives, and I've seen the paintings they've left. I've seen them, they're actively painting out of their minds, living on the streets. I've seen the imposters. I've seen the real deal. I've seen Brother Herbert Williams stand there and weep. And my grandfather, the World War II memorial, is a memory. And he stood there and he looked at all those battles where he'd been, and he'd point out the stars and the countries where he'd been, and to point out his unit leaders, his commanders. And he just stood there and you could see the memories, the memories, the memories, the memories. God said, put those 12 stones in the memorial. I want you to remember this, but I want you to remember for what it is. I want you to remember for what I did. I want you to remember this for the lives that were changed. I want you to remember this because there were those that were circumcised. There were those that had that reproach taken away. There were those that found new life. There were those that passed, old things passed away. I want you to remember that. But the place itself is gone. I used to go to the big meeting in the mountains, Flatwoods, West Virginia. I like to tell this because it annoys some people, but it won't bother any of you. The other place I tell it to annoy people. I remember old CT, he was about 21 years old, took off running the aisles and tripped and skidded on the concrete down the front of the tabernacle. If I ever see him, I'm going to remind him of that. Amen. Big old Don up there preaching together. Big me. I remember us just behind me out there at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, Brother Earl Hughes preaching. The glass and Sister Lucy singing, hey. Lord God, fall, we shout. Last time I drove by, there was flooded, muddy, cobweb.
That's right.
You listen. I've gone by a church that I was a member of. I've gone by the building, there's a family living in it now illegally. There's no church, the sign's gone, the cross is gone. But I remember the days of being in the house of God there, and the glory of God falling out.
That's right.
Sinners being converted. I remember the name of Travis Clayton playing his guitar. I stand up on the pulpit playing his guitar, and a little 12-year-old black girl hit the altar running, weeping, sobbing. God dealing with her. I remember Brother Fane Jordan canceled service that Tuesday night, went on down to Dairy Queen, ate Dairy Queen next night, the young lady got saved. You know what's there today? Nothing. But God hasn't changed.
Amen.
I said God hasn't changed.
Right,
right.
Girls, what if there's no Manassas Community Baptist Church? God won't change.
That's right.
You saw what happened across the mountain. This church there, not much.
God has changed.
Right.
Amen.
What if Living Waters Baptist Church is no more?
That's right.
The devil already did it once to this place, to this congregation.
That's right.
The devil already did it some 15 plus years ago one time. Not trying to be mean about it. You just know. We all know. Well, don't just know. God took that remnant, brought folks in, built this place up. It could be gone tomorrow.
That's right, preacher.
And God's not going to change. We're not here as a rundown effect of youth group.
That's right.
We're here because of God.
That's right.
I didn't come down here trying to drip gleanings from above. I came here because there's a holy God in heaven that can make this a holy place.
Amen.
And he can sanctify this place, separate himself this week. If we'll let him separate this place unto himself. If we'll give ourselves to prayer, seeking God. I'm not criticizing. Thank God for Youth Week.
Amen.
Right.
But you all do realize there's going to be a day that Youth Week will just, it may stop, it may dissipate, it may just drift away. It might go to apostasy.
That's right.
You can rest assured of this. It won't go to apostasy on my back. You can just say amen on that. Amen. It won't go to apostasy on John Askew's back.
Amen.
Hey, right. May not be here.
It's good.
It won't go to, I don't think it would go apostasy on Cliff Taylor's back. He may not be there.
Right.
Oh, they'll go through the motions. We'll go through the motions. Without God.
That's right.
It's not about the place. It's about him.
Amen.
I despise the statement. Despise it. Why can't God do that in our church?
Oh boy.
Now there's no way I despise that. Because if people feel that way, there's something wrong.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I'm not despising the person who say something. I used to say that.
Right.
You know what I despise the fact that God didn't work like that in my church.
That's right.
I remember on a Sunday night, Sunday afternoon rather, I remember sitting at home in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and sitting there, listen, weeping. And I said, Lord, I can't sit through another Sunday night where I'm at. He said, why don't you go down to Brother Herbert's? About 3:30 in the afternoon, I took off, stopped the sheets, got me a sandwich and large, well, extra large Mountain Dew. Those are the old days, amen. We took off down to Easton, Maryland, got there just a little after 6 o'clock. I walked in the door, Brother Herbert's like, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah, Brother McVeigh's here. He goes, what are you doing here? I said, I just want to be where God is. I said, well, we were God.
Amen.
I didn't forget, I said 5 years later, God forsook that place.
That's right.
God didn't forsake that man. I talked on the phone the other day. God hasn't forsaken that old man.
Amen.
God forsook that place. Your God. God did so much in that place. God did so much for so many. But you don't need Gilgal. You need God.
Amen.
Brother Vernon, I believe I've exhausted what I need to say.
It's hard to talk about Brother Clayton without cracking people up. And I'm going to say something about Brother Clayton. And it's funny, but I'm not saying it to be funny. If you do talk on the phone with Brother Clayton, he's just very kind. When he's not in the pulpit, he's very kind. And he uses a lot of flattery and just embarrasses me. He said, how's that flattery make you feel? I said, Brother Clayton, it's embarrassing, man. And so he goes into his next spiel and he told me, he said, Brother David, he said, you are a model Christian. And I didn't buy it for a second. I'm not just saying that. I don't buy that for a second. He said, you know what a model is? I said, what's that, Brother Clayton? A cheap imitation of the real thing. I said, just in case my head did get big, that just fixed it. You are a model Christian, Brother David. You know what a model is, Brother David? What's that, Brother Clayton? A cheap imitation of the real thing. I used an extension ladder. I was getting into my truck at about that same moment. So I had to go get an extension ladder just to climb up into my truck. He shrunk me to about that big. But you know what, Brother Zach? I've been in some model worship services. I've been in some model praise services. I've been in some model. I've met some models in the ministry. You don't need no models. Amen. Just need some servants of the Lord. Amen. Just to be obedient to God. Paul, one of the greatest Christians that's ever been known in Romans, said, Paul, the servant of the Lord. Just obedience. That's what we need. We need God. Don't need to be a model. We don't need all that stuff. We don't need stones. Me and Brother Zach heard a man preach, and I'll shut up in Morristown, Tennessee. He preached on those lighthouses. And he said, today they ain't nothing but tourist centers. And where people just come and take pictures and they stand in awe. They're, most of them has even been moved from where they really was to another location near the coast. And but he said, all those lighthouses are today is monuments of what they used to be. It's just a monument. It's just... It's what most churches have become today, just a monument.
That's right.
It's what most religion is, just a monument. But we serve a God, and He's 100% right, that doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've met with Him in places where God wouldn't come close to today, and I've met with Him. I've met with Him in the prisons. I've met with Him in outbuildings. I've met with Him in all... You know what, Miss Holly? I meet Him in my living room today. I can sit in my living room and meet God.
Right.
Just have a meeting with Him. He was there this morning at your house.
That's right.
He was at your house this morning.
Amen.
He was at, if you'd have got up, yeah, you could have went and sat at His feet.
Yeah.
You could have went and sat at His feet. He was there. You could have went and sat at His feet for a while this morning. Amen. It ain't about Gilgal. It's about meeting with God. God just used gear. I got to thinking about them woods in Louisville.
Yeah.
I got to think about meeting God up there in them woods. I thought about that sidewalk out at Black Creek Baptist Church. I don't know if anybody else met with God, but I know for a fact God showed up out there on that sidewalk Thursday night. Amen. Friday night, whatever night. God showed up. I ain't worried about the night. I just know God showed up Thursday night. It's exactly when it was Thursday night. The presence of God showed up out there, and I went, thank God, met with God out there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the good word of God. Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, that I'm able to meet with You. I'm glad, God, You're willing to meet with me.
Hey.
God, I think of the passage says, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? God, I just want to thank You that You're mindful of me, dear God, just to be able to meet with me while we're riding down the road. God, while we're sitting in the living room. God, there's times and places where You just meet with us. And God, it's precious times and precious places, dear God, where You meet with Your people. And I pray, God, that You'd meet with us in this place. Lord, that's been my prayer all along. God, that You'd pass by this place, dear God, and be pleased with what's going on in here. And God, just to make Yourself at home, to make Your abode right here. This is Your house, blessed Father. God, we invite You to come and make Yourself at home. And God, have Your perfect will and way in each and every heart and life in this place. Oh God, let this be a place where we can meet with You. One more time, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.